Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 23 this morning as we reflect on God's goodness upon us. We are aware that we have gone through a time or a season in the world today where we've all been affected by COVID-19. And the truth of the matter is that all governments have attempted to put in place compulsory measures to control the virus. But no government can claim success. The research indicates that most of the things and most of the measures put in place have rather been in some way as effective as everyone expected. The World Bank released a report that indicated that there is global extreme poverty and is expected to rise for the first time in over 20 years. As the disruption of COVID pandemic compounds, the forces of conflict, climate change, disruption, which were already showing poverty reduction progress, the World Bank said in 2020 that the COVID-19 pandemic is estimated to push, I quote, an additional 88 million to 115 million people into extreme poverty this year, with the total rising as many as 150 million by the end of the year 2022, depending on the severity of the economic contractions, end quote. The World Bank does define extreme poverty as living on less than $1.90 a day. And this is likely to affect almost 9.4% of the world's population this year. Now, as you hear that, that's bad news. And you wanted to say, why am I bringing that? These are not Christians writing this. This is the World Bank. Another stat that has been so outstanding for me, and I find this striking and very applicable to this psalm we are about to look at. There has been a number of societal breakdowns in our midst. There has been harms to children and diagnosed illness that will result in excess mortality in the years to come. Adding to that, it is estimated as well that there will be, according to Paul Elias Alexander, he says that we need to expect that there will be depressions, anxieties, suicidal ideation in our young people, drug overdoses, and suicides due to most of these lockdowns even that have been put in place. The crushing isolation due to lockdowns, the psychological harms, domestic and child abuse, sexual abuse, loss of jobs and businesses, the devastating impact and the massive numbers of deaths resulting from the many of the effects of COVID-19. These will impact heavily on, because these are what people, women and many other minorities. And Christians are not exempt from all these. Now, the question is, in the face of such bad news presented to us by the people of the world, where lies the hope of the believer? And I know some of your pastors and some of your members have lost their jobs. How should those who have looked at their jobs as the source of their income, we call it? Psalm 23 gives us the answer. We have a God who is still the Good Shepherd. That even in the face of all this, we can look to this psalm and we can still declare with David of this God who was the shepherd of David. And my question to you this morning is the shepherd of David your shepherd? Are you, as Bishop Zulu has led us into that new song, desiring to surely and truly follow him? He's a man in the spirit, you can see. You've sung that song so well. So turn with me to Psalm 23 and we read together, then we pray and expound from it. Psalm 23 from verse 1, David tells us, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For I know you are with me. For your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me. In the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercies shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's come before him and we pray. O our good shepherd, we bow before you this morning and we thank you for your tender care, love and compassion towards us. You are the one who is able to lead us by your Holy Spirit to guide us into the paths of righteousness. Now as we come to your word, as it would cause us to feast here, cause us to have our souls restored here, for your word, indeed, your precepts are able to revive our souls. So we do pray that you will indeed encourage us. You will sustain us. Above all else, we will see not just ourselves in the psalm, but we will see your glory in the face of Jesus Christ. In his name we ask and we pray. May God's people say amen. Amen. As we have read from the psalm, I desire that we answer three questions. Who is this shepherd of David? And in the definition, as we describe who he is, we will also see that the descriptions given are intertwined to the duties thereof. That what David tells us about the God who is his shepherd denotes his duties in the life of David himself. I will also endeavor to answer the question as to how does he do this? Because it's very important that we do answer that and we apply it. And when does he do it? In our module, the pastoral theology or the pastoral practice, we have looked at this and we have examined as to what is expected of a good pastor as well. So how then do you apply this in your own personal ministry? It's very applicable as well. But let's first look at the descriptions given as to who is this shepherd of David. Number one, we find in verse number one, "The Lord is my shepherd." Look at the usage of the term Lord. It's the same name you find as you see in the last verse 6. He uses this description twice. It's L-O-R-D in caps, which denotes the name Yahweh or Jehovah. And that's what David has in mind, the covenant name of God, or in essence, the name by which God is known by his covenant people. Exodus chapter 33 reveals to us, even in Exodus chapter number 3, as Moses comes in the burning bush, remember when Moses was asking, whom will I tell these people has sent me? You see the usage of the term Lord. Say the Lord has sent you. He is the one who is to redeem you from the bondage of Egypt. He's the one who made a covenant with Isaac. He's the one who made a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So the name Lord used here is the personal name of God, or the Jewish national name of God, the name by which God is known by His covenant people. That's why you see that David employs that personal pronoun, my. Do you see that? Look at verse number 1. He says he is my shepherd. He's being selfish. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down. Because there's a personal essence to this. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. Look at how he employs that. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I am the one who will not fear any evil. I know you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me. He's not being selfish. What David is revealing to us, he has a personal relationship with this God. Because he's a covenant God. Now, believer, in the face of what we have perceived to be a time of calamity, the name Lord also denotes that He is the master. He is the one who is in charge over all things. Listen to this quote. Nearly all governments have attempted to put measures in place to control, as it would, death and mortality in the world the last 2 years, but they have failed. The name Lord Yahweh denotes that there is one who is sovereign over all, truly and surely in control. And he is such in control that he is personally involved in our affairs here on earth. So then, if this is who he is, if this is what he is able to do, that he is personally involved, we need then to ask this question, how is he involved? This God. This is how personally involved he is. 3 ways in which he is involved in your life. Through his Son. Number one, God, he is personally involved such that he himself sent his Son. Now remember Matthew chapter number 1, verse number 21. We are told a virgin shall give birth and he shall give birth to a child. You shall call his name Jesus. Why? Because he will, look at this preposition and this pronoun. He will save his people. So that's a possessive pronoun. He will save his people from their sins. Not only that, verse 22 tells us, you shall call him Emmanuel, meaning God is now with us. We'll look at that later on. But he is personally involved that he becomes like us. John chapter number 1, verse number 1 tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1 verse 14 tells us that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hebrews chapter number 1, he's the exact image of the invisible God. So he's so personally involved that he becomes like one of us to save us from our sins. Therefore, he will say in John chapter 10, not only is he the shepherd, as we see in chapter number 1, verse number 1 here, as you see chapter 23, verse 1, that the Lord is my shepherd. No, Christ takes that in John 10, verse number 9 and 10, he tells us to 11 to say, I am. Not just the shepherd. He adds an adjective. He says, I am the good shepherd. So then the one who has seen him has seen the Father. In John chapter number 1, verse number 18, no one has ever seen God at any time. The only begotten who is in the bosom of the Father, he, Jesus Christ, has explained or expounded, exegeted him to us. So we see God in human form amongst us. Thus Jesus Christ uniquely reveals to us the truth of who the Father is and what he is like. So if you have trouble getting your brains around the fact that God is invisible and that he dwells in the approachable light, whom no man has ever seen or can see, then look at Jesus. He reveals the truth about God to us. We can only know the Father through the Son. Because the Father is personally involved in our affairs, even in our mess and our messed up world. So he is a personal shepherd. Amen? Amen. So that's how he does it. That's how he's personally involved in your and my life. And when his mission and when his task was over, he goes to the cross. Jesus Christ, he knows very well, as we see, Jesus knew all men. He knew what was in the heart of men. The fact that this is actually in the scripture in John chapter 2, verse 24 to 25. He knew and he knows that the heart of man is deceptive and desperately wicked. Yet, he becomes like us. Dies the death he did not deserve. Rises up on the third day and he says, I am not going to leave you as orphans. I will send another, the Holy Spirit. For what objective? So that still the Godhead will be personally involved in our lives. So the Father, the Son, then the Spirit, the second one. So he shepherds us. We see his shepherd care in his Son, tending us, taking us away from sin to the paths of righteousness, taking us away from the pangs of Satan to freedom in himself. But he does not leave us there. He then sends the Holy Spirit as the one who is going to lead and to direct and to guide us into the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That's how God is leading us. But not only is he leading us through the Son and the Spirit, but even in the Scriptures. Amen. So he shepherds us. He is that kind of a personal shepherd who is not distant from us. He has invaded our souls. He has invaded our lives. And he has come so that he will change us and direct us into the paths of righteousness. But in his word, Psalm 119, verse 105, the psalmist will say, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It is this word that the psalmist will say, how can a young man keep his words pure? By keeping it according to this word. Jesus will pray, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16. All scripture is inspired by God. It's useful. Why? So that the man of God may be equipped for every good work. So he disciples and he shepherds us. He is able to lead us. He is personally involved through his Son, by his Spirit, in his Scriptures. But never lose sight of us. He then shepherds us even through his sense. As the Lord Jesus Christ would have it, he gave gifts to the church. As to the gifts that Christ gives, and he lavishly gives to the church, in order for the church to be mature, in order for the church to remain pure, in order for the church to remain in unity, he gives the shepherds teachers for the edification of the church. So he's a personal shepherd. He is personally involved in our lives. He has revealed that to us in His Son, by His Holy Spirit, who dwells in us, the seal, the guarantee of our inheritance. But also He is guiding us and leading us each and every day in His Scriptures. The Scriptures are the only means through which God is going to guide His people to the celestial city. There is no way, shape or form that God will speak to His people. It's not in dreams. It's not in visions. He has determined to guide His people through His spoken, living word, the 66 books as they are given to us. So then, in the face of fake news, in the face of bad news, in the face of what is perceived or projected to be bad years ahead, we can still be certain of this. There's only one constant. All other things are changing. All other things are dynamic. But there's only one constant. And the constant is God remains good. He has not changed. He will not change. How are we going to discern His will in this time? It's not on the basis of what the weatherman is going to tell us. It's on the basis of what the Word of God is telling us. So we will trust Him. So may I ask you, is He your personal shepherd? Is He personally involved in your walk? Or are you walking and following after your own deceptive heart? Have you believed in the lie that says, oh brother, just follow your heart. Is your heart your shepherd? Sister, just believe in yourself and just follow your heart. Is your heart your shepherd? We sometimes may think we know what God's plan is and what His will is. We deceive ourselves and we end up ruining our lives and the lives of those around us. Jesus comes and He says, the enemy comes to steal, to kill, to destroy, but I've come that you may have life and life abundant. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down His life for His sheep. So there is only one we need to look up to, and He's personally involved in your life through His Son, His Spirit, His Scriptures, and by His saints as they lead us and guide us, as they hold us accountable when we fell short of that which the Lord calls us. That'll be the first thing we focus on, a personal shepherd. Next time, we will look at the next verse. Let's pray together. A glorious Savior and Lord, we do desire that You would indeed, by Your grace, lead us. Isaiah 55 tells us, all we like sheep that have gone astray, each one of us leads to its own wicked ways. But the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Him who knew no sin personally involved, that He was wounded for our transgressions. He is chastised for our iniquities. The chastisement that brought us peace was laid upon Him. He is so involved that He faces the wrath of a holy and a just God we rightly deserve. Yet He does not leave us as orphans. He gives us the Holy Spirit, the Holy Scriptures to lead and to guide us. The Holy Sense to encourage us as we will at times grow weary, even loving the world of sin. So we ask, therefore, that we'll be cognizant of Your personal, Your tender care towards us, even in the face of what we may perceive and hear as bad news. You still are the good news and the good shepherd we need. So lead and guide us in the paths of righteousness. For your name's sake, we pray. May God's people say amen. Amen.